Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Abarca with Andy Lipson. Today we will have a sort of improvised kickback Friday episode on elections, voting, nanny policies. We'll see where it goes. We'll see.
And this is a discussion about the San Francisco, in some ways the excuse right. for this was the San Francisco right. election, because there was other cities where there were no elections, right?
There were.
But it wasn't in Oakland.
New York.
Yeah. But like Oakland didn't have an election.
I don't think so.
They didn't. So this is like some cities did have elections. We had one in San Francisco.
On the 5th of November on Tuesday.
So it's already been passed. So this is not like how you're going to vote.
Right. We're going to just discuss.
Eduardo wants to talk about how I voted.
Did you vote?
I did not vote. I elected to not vote.
If I was your Mexican father, I'd pull your ear right now.
I did on Thursday go to a meeting of other teachers trying to push for a strike, though. So that was useful.
All right. Well, let's get to it then, Andy.
I guess you voted, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
Good for you. Always vote since I turned 18.
I think our democracy is starting to work.
I voted in Mexico. I voted in the USA.
Oh, my gosh. You're voting everywhere. Or other countries that you voted.
I have. And it's unique, too. Citizenship. I have. I was in Mexico when Brexit happened.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Well, let's discuss just some of the, just a little bit of what the propositions were, and maybe just some of the, really, I mean, the main, we're not going to go through everything. We're just going to go through some of the things I think that we have, because we've stated our take on elections in general, which I think we can have an episode where you can see Andy and I get really heated and we debate on whether you should or shouldn't vote. So we'll get there. The thing is, there was one proposition that I think that is contentious between us, that I think we have disagreement, because it was Proposition C. And I really want to get that. I really don't care about everything else. Maybe we'll get to district attorney, which was lauded as one of the person who was running in Chesa Boudin.
I want to talk about the bond measures to get housing for educators, housing for people like me.
All right. Well,
which I did not vote on, and I wouldn't vote on.
Well, you. So why don't?
Right. So go with your Prop Siga.
All right, and then we'll get to the bond measure,
which is about e-cigarettes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, we'll get to Prop C. So, Prop C was, there was a ban here in San Francisco against the Proposition C. There was a ban on e-cigarettes, selling of e-cigarettes, because there has been a link to it where there was a high, there are a high number, there's a high percentage of teenagers beginning to use these new electronic vapor cigarettes.
It tastes like gummy bears.
Yeah, they have menthol. Mint is very popular, and they have mango and all these flavors.
They sound delicious.
And they supposedly taste delicious. So
I'm sure.
Oh, they smell. Taste. How do you taste vapor? I'm not sure.
No, you can. It's taste buds on your tongue. On your tongue.
Right. Well, the thing is that it has been gaining very popularity amongst youth and even amongst adults. And it was supposed to be one of these things where you transition out from these the tobacco cigarettes, the normal ones, and to help people. Supposedly, it was sold as the healthier option, and then it became, I think, more popular in after 2016. And then you began seeing a series of hospital incidents where people, especially young people, started going, where they had breathing issues, respiratory problems, and migraines. And then there was just a boom of it at school. You work in high school, so I'm just curious if you've seen teenagers.
Yeah, I mean, they smell a lot more like pot than anything.
So have you not seen it?
I did see Prophecy. Yeah.
I was the e-cigarettes by the teenagers.
I mean, one of my good friends smokes e-cigarettes. I'm like, okay.
Okay. And so there was this political move amongst the supervisors to ban from selling it. And Juul, which is one of the leading, I think, companies that sells it, was really upset. And there was this proposition. And I'm just going to give context before you and I start arguing.
Well, we will agree. I mean, first of all, neither of us use these products, right?
No, I don't use it. In June, the Board of Supervisors here in San Francisco passed a moratorium on vaping products while the feds, the FDA, take a closer look at the health effects of e-cigarettes. Hometown nicotine peddlers Juul and their tobacco industry buddies didn't like that, so they crafted Proposition C to overturn the moratorium.
So my understanding is San Francisco tried to craft special laws that went beyond or acted prior to the federal government trying to enact some laws to so-called protect consumers.
Right, they tried, kids. And then Proposition came as a result.
San Francisco Board of Supervisors felt that the federal government wasn't acting fast enough, so they tried to come up with some initial, like other laws to basically...
They were going to regulate themselves, but what company is going to regulate against their own interests?
Right. Well, and also there was something about the timing of these FDA things that the initial Board of Supervisors were saying that would give Juul the opportunity to get things on the market for a period of time prior to FDA testing. That was one thing I'd seen as well. So
they even sued the city over the... Juul.
Okay. But I'm just saying the Board of Supervisors wanted to put in early protections, regulations, restrictions.
Until the FDA could come out with...
Exactly.
Yes.
So it's like the small state trying to put regulations on things before the big state can come in and do it.
The small state?
San Francisco versus the federal government.
I see. Yeah.
But they're both the same.
Yeah, I understand. I just... Maybe I...
The mini version of the capitalist state trying to tell us what's good for us before the big version of the capitalist state insists on what it will be.
So... A yes on Proposition C was, there was a campaign called Protecting the Children, which was to confuse you. Was a message which was disingenuous and was trying to take from the big tobacco playbook, was trying to have a twist on regulating the tobacco. So I think why I'm interested in this is because you and I had a very interesting discussion some time ago where we were discussing a soda tax.
Yeah, like a sugar tax.
Yes. Yeah. And some people have called this nanny policies. And you and I have differences, and I want to really hash out what it is, because we've been saving this discussion. Yeah. We haven't even discussed it outside of this. How do you say grabaciones recording? Because we decided to save it for this, for our audience to see how it would look like.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you would have voted for, even though you didn't vote.
I wouldn't have voted. I didn't vote. Like, I don't think there's any.
I know you wouldn't. You didn't vote. I'm just saying. Do you think that there should be a ban on e-cigarettes? Do you think that there should be?
I don't trust the government to regulate anything. No. Like,
well, we're not talking about anything. We're talking about
e-cigarettes. Just... No, not a ban. No, not a ban.
Okay, and then I think then it would be the same with a soda tax.
Well, definitely. I mean, and the soda tax is even. I'm even more clear on for myself. Like, I don't believe the government's trying to protect anybody's health because
with a soda tax you don't.
No, I mean, well, with the soda tax or with the e-cigarettes, because our federal government is not like doesn't offer health care to people. It's part of a system that's destroying people's lives. Why are kids wanting to go to cigarettes as opposed to school? Because public education is a humdrum nightmare of boredom. Because what public education is about is turning these kids into future workers so they can just get exploited. Mm-hmm. So that's why people go to drugs and to go to these other things, whether it be alcohol or marijuana or e-cigarettes or what have you. So if we're really going to deal with this issue, we cannot trust the state. the capitalist state, which is the author of all the reasons that adults and children are looking for ways out, are looking for escapes. There's no escape from capitalism other than to stop capitalism. And you cannot stop capitalism by giving its major player, the state, the power to regulate over us. Mm-hmm. Now, if the state would want to go in and like shut down the corporations and take all their money, which the state won't do, right? I'd say I wouldn't even trust the state to do it because I know the state doesn't want to do it. It's a capitalist state. But I'm saying if they want to do that, if they want to put their regulations all on corporations, maybe. I'm saying maybe right now because I haven't thought it through fully. I'd be willing to consider it. But you notice on all these things, tax on workers. Like literally, the sugar tax is a tax on workers to say, oh, we're going to help you by taxing you more. That's what the sugar tax is. And we're going to tell you what's good for you. When what's good for people is healthcare. What's good for people is working less. What's good for people is free housing. What's good for people is being able to like just live their life in dignity without having to worry that they're going to be put on the street because they're going to be fired. That's what's good for people. What is not good for people is this system. And so this system is destroying people's lives, and the state is part of that. And then they're trying to parse out this thing about an extra sugar tax is going to help me. No, you're just going to use that. Y'all were put in there by the capitalists in the first place. These people who are passing these laws, and they're doing it for the bent. And these people who are put in there by the capitalists are somehow telling us they're going to do this for us, when everything they do is for the rich, is for Wall Street. So no, they can't. And so even in the case of e-cigarettes, no, I don't buy it. I don't buy that the government's trying to protect them. I think what's going to happen is young people are going to be put in jail for this kind of stuff if they do it. Yes, that's ultimately what it's going to do, is start to criminalize these things and have young people, generally people of color, are going to be put in jail, are going to find themselves, you know, nailed for something. That's where this leads when you're regulating it like this. And that's why I'm not going to trust the state to do it.
Well, I understand when you say that, yet you see the tobacco industry was taxed heavily and you saw a decrease in usage. In Mexico in 2014, in my country, there was a tax on soda from 2014. And the following year, it decreased in consumption and keeps decreasing in consumption. So when I see results like the tobacco industry, once it has been taxed then heavily, then there has been a decrease, and in Mexico as well, then I do think that this is maybe part of the solution. I think that this may be some of what, because healthcare is especially Western healthcare, if you just focus on healthcare, that's just going to the doctor and having maybe, it isn't, I mean, maybe they might provide some education, but I don't think that e-cigarettes is going to be targeted. The doctor's not really going to be targeting on cigarettes or alcohol, or, you know, they'll help you, but they're not going to tell you what to do. A doctor will recommend things for
you
to do.
That's correct. They won't tell you what to do. That's right.
But the state will tell you what to do. Behavior over time? Do you see how...
What do you mean? You're not saying we... Are you the state?
No, I'm...
Are you the Mexican state or the U.S. state? Which state are you? Which state do you represent? Which state am I talking to right now?
Well,
you said we. I don't know. Who's we? Who are we? When you say we, who are we and who are they trying to control?
I see what you're saying. I have an interest in reducing obesity. I have an interest in our youth not smoking cigarettes, harming their lungs, especially at a very young age, impressionable. And so that's where, when I say we, I say that I would like to be a part of that reform.
And I believe that. And I believe that that has to come from giving people choices, giving people education, and empowering people. It does not come from empowering the state. It's the opposite. The reason people are forced into these places where they are eating really unhealthy food. This is all about the government's intersection with the food industry, mm-hmm. about sugar and hiding how sugar was unhealthy and things like this. Mm-hmm. All right. And it has everything to do with access to healthcare. And healthcare should be about choices. Doctors shouldn't be saying, if you do this, we're throwing you in jail. Doctors should be giving people choices. People should have the choice to make either a healthy choice or an unhealthy choice. That's freedom. Do you understand that? That's freedom. Freedom is not always going to be people going to make the choices either you would make or that I would make. They are free to make the choices they want about their lives. That's part of it. And we will not see healthier people, which is what we both say we want, by giving the state more power to direct people what to do. We will see unhealthier people.
What do you say to the results of the tobacco industry?
I think you can.
What do you say to the results of Mexico?
I can say of sugary. Are people in Mexico healthier? Are people in the United States healthier?
I'm not saying
they are not. But there's I'm going to tell you they aren't. Yeah. I'm telling you that they aren't. I'm asking a rhetorical question to say that people are not. People may be smoking less, but they are less healthy. I'm just giving that because you cannot do this. You cannot get people to be healthier by smashing them with the state. You can terrify people. You can make people less able to pay for some of those things, but you will not make people healthier by scaring them.
Right. I'm not saying that I understand that there's a root cause, right?
That's what we got to get.
Right. Right. But at the same time, I think something I think that when we talk about this is that I don't really disagree with you. I agree with you. It's just I think that we can do this as well.
You can't.
It's just both. You have simultaneously.
You cannot, because if we're looking,
it's Andy, like saying, oh, we should get rid of plastic completely. Yes, we should get rid of plastic, but we can also recycle.
I'm saying we have to get rid of capitalism completely, and that's what you're misunderstanding, is that the root of this health crisis, along with economic crisis, along with war crisis and violence crisis, along with environmental crisis, the root of it is our capitalist system. And there is not a way to get at that root by strengthening its institutions, which is what you do when you give it laws to control people.
I don't really think that that's anything controlling people. I think it's just... deterring people.
But with what? With the
it's
fear?
It's not controlling.
Tell me what the deterrence is.
The deterrence is like, there is still access to it, but there is an obstacle to it. The way you describe it, the way you paint it and you frame it, it's like there is a restriction, like there is a ban, there are ways to get it. It's just simply you have to jump over a few fences to get it. So, if people are so willing to go and fulfill their inner cravings, well then jump a couple of fences.
But in general, when these fences have meant jail, have meant, okay, you've
broken... No one is jailing anyone in this case.
In this case, I agree, in this case.
That's why I'm telling you, you're going far over there.
No, 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 it's not far.
No, just keep it here. No one's going to get in trouble. But is it... No one is going to be controlling anybody. And don't make it too far.
Right,
we're talking about soda and we're talking about cigarettes, tobacco.
And
one is going to go to jail.
Right, but in the case of soda and the case of these cigarettes, like I understand that not going to jail, but then it's another thing. It's either a financial impediment. The state is telling people what to do. The state is telling people how to live.
They're not telling people.
Yes,
deterring. They're deterring.
I don't think the state should have.
It's like something smells bad and it makes people go away.
Why would I give them any? Why would I give them any say when I don't believe anything?
They're not trapping anyone. This is like, think of it as two ways. When you have a humane way of like this, right now, for example. There is a neighbor that has a mouse infestation. It's on nextdoor.com. Everyone's discussing on the way to get rid of these mice. And people are, you know, the way I suggest it is a humane way to deter these things. You put some pepper, you get ways, you deter things in the same way. You don't kill some in this mice. And that, I think, is what I'm trying to say. It's in the same way, it is only deterring people. It's to steer them away from it. It's not going to make anyone in trouble. It's not going to get anyone. I figured you'd go to these extremities.
Right.
No one
That's
is
where
going
these
to
things
jail.
Lead. But look, well, look, if certain people may, but...
Who
people
is
who
going?
Break, people who sell to eight, see people to sell to minors.
People who sell to minors.
If you're 18, if you sell those sorts of things, you're breaking a law of various sorts with these right? Because it's up to 18.
And who are those people? The capitalists. They're the ones. Joe's a company.
In that case, right.
Yeah, you right. see? So but to I'm, stay here. If you stay here, I'm going to limit. Because you start going elsewhere,
but I'm
let
just,
them go to jail, the company.
Right. I'm just saying that the issue of telling people what to do or trying to urge people or convince or use even economic levers in these sense, I don't agree with that. Because I don't
why
believe...
Why not? You're not defending... You're not saying why.
Because it's the capitalist state deciding it. I'm telling you exactly why. That capitalist state is strengthened when you give it the power, the authority, to make these sorts of... You should
I
go this way, not
so.
That way.
I don't think so. It's public sentiment, Andy. Andy, no. If you... There was a survey recently. Most people are in agreement with it. It's not the capitalist state. That's why I think sometimes...
But who do you
again,
think... Who
there's
you...
a sentiment. People don't want... You ask... They surveyed San Francisco. They just asked... Everyone is in agreement that we should deter our youth from going out and buy. You keep saying the
right.
capitalist
and
class.
And it's saying...
It's the sentiment that people are feeling. There was a survey. There were studies done nationally and there's
yes.
studies done citywide.
Right. And what
you
that
don't,
does...
You cannot use it, this whole thing about
I can. Yes, I am can because what it does is it fetishizes this whole thing around e-cigarettes and our children's health by basically directing it at these things like cigarettes or like e-cigarettes or maybe we could say marijuana, maybe we say alcohol. But the real issue of health of our youth, of ourselves, has nothing to do with those sorts of things. It's about the system we live in that doesn't really give us any freedom. And if you give the state more power to decide the direction we have in our lives, then you are empowering the very system that makes our lives miserable. So yes, it is that way. You might not see it that way. And the state, yes, you're absolutely right, is the state is leveraging popular opinion and using it to strengthen its own hand on this area, which seems so harmless, which seems like everyone wants it. But it's using it all over the place. And then even in this instance, I don't trust them. And I'm not going to give them any sort of authority to decide or even urge people in one way or way, because I don't believe that they are in people's interest. They're in the capitalist interest.
Well, it was very popular to smoke before, and now it isn't so popular because there were many things and many measures. One of them was to disempower the tobacco industry.
So you're
and,
saying, yeah.
And there was a high tax on tobacco, which makes it very expensive for people to buy cigarettes.
Right.
How has the state, according to you, been able to take from the playbook of banning and deterring people from tobacco on other areas, mapped onto other areas? If you so think that, because it's been years and now we can use the tobacco industry as a prime example of how we can do this on other things with e-cigarettes now, soda tax. But you're saying that the state could potentially use and wield this, harness this power.
It's not a potential, it's doing it.
Tell me an example.
Prop C, right here. FDA. It's a prop. It's an actual example.
But that is within the tobacco industry.
Yes,
that's
right.
Not,
no,
that's
no, it's
not,
on us.
That's cheating.
It's basically
no.
telling...
What
it's basi-
is it... What thing has been used from the playbook of the using the popular sentiment of the tobacco industry onto other things has a capitalist class, according to you, going to further restrict us?
They're doing it all the time. I mean,
with what? Give me an example.
I'm going to draw a line between Proposition C and the Patriot Act. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Why the Patriot Act?
Because that's about keeping us safe as well. And
you're going extreme.
I'm sorry, but
the Patriot Act. You're talking about the war on terrorism.
This is the same state.
No, that we're talking about health. That is going nationwide.
I'm just talking about you. You want to make a division between the people who pass laws like the Patriot Act and the people who make war, and these same people who are passing these laws around Prop C. You're somehow saying that sometimes they're mean and sometimes they're nice. That's the thing. You don't see them as combined. I do. The reason you don't see them as combined is you don't actually believe they act in the interest of a class. I do. So the Patriot Act...
Will you deter people? You're not banning...
The Patriot Act definitely deters people. This will deter people. Sugar tax will deter people. All of those things are put forth by the same state. I don't think you understand that. And it's the same state with the same interest of basically saying the poorest workers are the ones who are going to pay the most for the sins of all of us, if you will. The poorest workers are going to pay the most. And that's how capitalism works. And it continues to work that way. And this is going to, and they're literally going to say, we have now public opinion to grind the poorest workers under the boot. So great. Wonderful. We've done it. So that's what's enacted. That's what's in play here, Eduardo. So I don't make a distinction between people who pass legislation like Proposition C and those who do things like deport immigrants. It's the same institutions. They're operating with the same notion of protecting U.S. citizens. And both of them are lies. So why are they? You understand their lies here, and all of a sudden they're telling the truth under Prop C? No. It's just it's easier for them to sneak in under. They've obviously fooled you. They're fooling other people as well, because they're basically saying, oh, here's where we can come in, and now we can be the nanny state. Now we can be the nice guy. And if we could just do this all over once again, all you do is slide down the slippery slope of saying, oh, Prop C, okay. Well, then they're just going to bring you to the Patriot Act. Then they're just going to bring you to NSA, spying. Because all that shit is done for the same reasons, to keep us safe.
I'm talking about health.
Well, it's all done for under the same things, and we're not getting healthier. People are getting unhealthier.
I know, and I'm not
so
saying...
So that's why I know it doesn't work.
That's why I'm saying we can do a combination of things.
There's no combination. This is the state. The state cannot be strengthened to make us healthier.
When I wasn't... Look, how do I say this? I'm not for, and I want to clarify something. I think when I said that no one is banning this, people are going to harp on me and say San Francisco is banning it. And I should clear something up. San Francisco is banning it until the FDA comes out with some of the...
So the federal government coming in and ban it?
Until the FDA comes out with... Andy?
Aggressive restrictions and harsh lines.
No, that's the big things. No, Andy. What is the FDA has to do? What's the proper term when the FDA comes out?
Like test things?
Yes,
like
yes. What do you call it? Help me out with a word, right?
I don't know, but they're going to... I do know that they were saying something about testing...
Independent studies, I think,
yes,
right? So
yeah.
When the FDA...
I don't really agree with the FDA,
but what I'm trying to say is that San Francisco wasn't putting a ban. It was until such testing and results are done onto this. So that's what I want to say. It's when I say that it's not banned. I wouldn't be in agreement if something was banned permanently. I wouldn't be in agreement with someone if they were restricting this. What I mean is, this is going to sound like I'm contradicting myself, so I'm sure I'm going to get lots of heat from this. There has to be some way for us to try to... some alternative, some way of having our youth not have easy access to it, not be so... because... the adverts target youth, and there has to be some restrictions. I don't know how to. It's like when I think of this, I think of how the paparazzi is limited to taking pictures of children and of celebrities' children in France. There has to be some protection for kids. That's all I'm trying to say. There has to be some way. I'm not in agreement with telling adults what to do. I'm simply saying that we have to try to protect our kids from, and I understand that could be used as one way to justify restrictions. But
it is. That's how it's being used right now.
I'm for making sure that some of our youth are deterred from actually going down the path of becoming addicted to some of these things.
I'm for you deterring. I would do the same thing. My deterrent is
solutions.
me saying to a person, I wouldn't do that. If they choose to do it, that's for them. That's on them. What is definitely not a deterrent is giving the state the right to come in and make a statement about that. You keep saying, I want to, or we should. When you say that, Eduardo, make sure you understand that when you say we and you include the state of San Francisco, that you are drawing a connection between your interests and the interests of them. The capitalist state, which is the San Francisco state, it's a mini one, but that's what it is. And that's where they got you now. And now they got you thinking that you are we. And I'm telling you, you are making an alliance with an implacable enemy and you're falling for it there. Don't do that. We share the desire for people to be healthy. We want people to be healthy, then teachers got to go on strike. We've got to show people how to become healthy by going on strike, by taking back our power. Hold on. By taking back our power, by tearing down these institutions, tearing down the government, reconstructing a different government under workers' power. That's how health will be had. There is no other way. You can't have health by giving the state the right to direct people how to be healthy. You will get less healthy people that way, because that's empowering capitalism, and capitalism destroys workers. It doesn't destroy capitalists, it doesn't destroy the rich, it destroys workers, and it starts from the bottom and makes the people on the bottom the most unhealthy, and it starts from the people who are mostly of color, mostly transgender, like all the people who are the most oppressed. We'll start with them, we'll make them the most unhealthy, and then we'll work our way up. That's how capitalism works. So you cannot give the state any power to direct anybody to do anything, nor can I give anybody the illusion that that state's going to help us. No, not the Patriot Act state, not the war on Afghanistan, the U.S. Iraq state, not the war on our, not these same police cops who are in there always rousting the homelessness. No, not them. Not that state. I'm sorry. And this city, which is basically starving public education and starving the needs of regular kids and getting them kicked out of here because it won't tax the rich, I'm sorry, that is not the state that's going to help kids. It's basically getting them kicked out of the city because it's making it too hard to live here because it refuses to tax Twitter. Those are the people that you're trusting.
I'm for taxing Twitter.
I'm just telling you the people. I didn't say about whether you were for that.
No,
you're
changing. I want to be clear for our
own. I understand, but what I said is you are trusting that same state that refuses to tax them. And it does, and it's doing that not out of oh, I don't know. It's because it serves their interests. So you are free to say our when you and make an alliance with the state of San Francisco or the state of Sacramento or the federal government if you want to. But that's not what I do. And that's the trick you're falling for.
When you talk about teacher strikes, I don't see how that is a direct link to e-cigarettes.
It's
an indirect, yes.
No, it's direct. It's direct. It's not
how
indirect.
How is it direct? It's not targeting e-cigarettes directly.
Because let me tell you what's going to happen when teachers go on strike and other workers go on strike and students join them. And we do it for a prolonged period. I guarantee you're going to see young people acting and behaving differently. Right now, they're acting just like us workers. We have slave mentality, and we treat like slaves, and we're desperately... We feel mostly despair. We vote for somebody we know is lying to us. That despair is at the root of all these drugs, of all these other things we're doing. When people become liberated and they start to liberate themselves, you're going to see a very different kind of people. And some of it is going to be elements of drug usage and things like that that will come into it. But it's their decision to do those sorts of things. So it's absolutely connected to not indirect empowerment, direct empowerment. Yours is indirect, but it's indirect because it doesn't work, and it is a direct enslavement because you're empowering the one thing, which is the state. And that state, which is not like, this is not a libertarian thing. That's a capitalist state. It's the bourgeoisie's dictatorship. That is, it's an institution of them trying to control it, and you cannot give them power to control us. And every time you do, you basically make our situation that much more desperate.
I think Twitter and e-cigarettes should be taxed. I think that you should tax them. I think that you should make it somewhat hard for our youth not to have access. And I think that Juul falsely claiming that this is a healthier option, there should be restrictions on companies that have profit-driven interests to try to target youth. And that is what I'm for. I'm for making sure that this is maybe a band-aid. I see it as a band-aid. I admit, I do think that there's a deeper root cause for why youth smoke, and I don't think it's because it's simply cool. I think that there are very entrenched deep issues as to why people go and have addictive behaviors, and I do believe that healthcare is the more the option we should be looking into. But as I have said with other things, when I say that we should have a vote, we should vote to protect our parks, when I have said as well, we should try to vote for propositions that protect our water, our environment, and try to, it's like having a buffer from as far as environmental propositions, to try to protect some of our parks, and with this, to protect our youth as we await as well a general strike, a worker-led manifestación. And I think that these buffers, I see them as like temporary solutions. They aren't permanent solutions. I think that they're just simply ways for us to just take care of our youth for the moment, our environment with the policies that we have to protect them, until we are able to have a true transformation. So I admit these are band-aid policies. That's how I would name it. I wouldn't say that they are nanny policies. I would rename them as band-aid policies. All right, Andy, I think I made my statement. Vote for me. Do not vote for Andy. He doesn't want children to be healthy.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'll let it go.
We're going to cut this.
We're not cutting. That's coming. See what he says. See how much restraint I show. I think I'm going to win over some people now. We're keeping this.
They don't know what happens behind the scenes.
What about the children? Okay. So there was one other measure you wanted to...
I think we should go into bonds, because I'm looking at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on, Andy. You wanted to bring up this one.
So there were two bonds. Prop A, mm-hmm. which was for housing, and Prop E, which was for housing. Both of them very much advertised. One was a $660 million bond.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
And the other bond, I don't actually know if Prop E was connected to money. That I can't remember if it was or not. But it was talking about, both of them advertised themselves by saying they're providing low-income housing, and both of them put some element of it into housing specifically for educators. Mm-hmm. Now, first off, I actually have a problem with that.
Oh.
I do.
Yeah.
Because why do educators deserve housing more than any other workers? Mm-hmm. Tell me why. Yeah. Tell me why I am more important. And I'll tell you.
Saul asked me that.
Right. And that's a very good question. Why would we not want just worker housing? Mm-hmm. Housing for all workers. Now, that's what we need to have. Mm-hmm. And then we will not get that from capitalism. And here's what I think about bond measures. You know, you've heard of the bond market, right? So who definitely makes money off of San Francisco having a $660 million bond? Because I'm not sure I'm getting a house out of that. So who's definitely winning from that? Wall Street investors. For each dollar that got borrowed by Wall Street investors, they get 74 cents additionally, $1.74, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I've read some different things and basically say that, well, if you plan out the 20 years or 30 years you pay it off, they only get 30 cents back or 25 cents back. So they get $1.25 then. But that's the only people we know make money off of this, we know really benefit from that bond, which is the bond market.
I was just going to say that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what this is about. So the capitalist class is being borrowed from. The capitalist class is putting those legislators up there to oversee how this money is going to get spent. So you're trying to tell me that, one, the capitalist class is going to get rich off the bond, and secondly, the $660 million that they get rich off of somebody borrowing it is being controlled by the flunkies that they put into the state, and you're telling me I'm supposed to trust those people are going to be spending that money on me when they've actually been, they're not going to spend it on the poor. And in fact, I know for a fact that they're going to use it to either or feather their own nests and make statements about it. It's sort of like here was what was very interesting. One of the propositions was the traffic mitigation. Did you see the one that says, this is the one, we're going to try to keep traffic congestion mitigation, right? They're going to say traffic congestion mitigation proposition. You know what that was? We're going to tax people who are having Uber rides. Mm-hmm. Right? And let's also go back to who pays for those bonds? Like, who pays that tax that goes to the Wall Street investor? Who's that coming from? It's coming from property owners here in San Francisco. That's who pay it. And that And 50% of that is going back to the renters here. So it's like this, they keep soaking us and soaking us and taking and taking and taking, and they keep acting like they're doing us a favor with this stuff. So no, I'm not voting for that stuff. Like, we have to, we can't use capitalism to get our way out of this housing crisis. There's no way to do it. And we can't, certainly can't trust the capitalists to do it, but we can't even use their system. There's only one way.
Yeah.
And so to me, I do, again, they're appealing to sentiment. They're appealing to sentiment to make it seem like they're doing something, but all they're doing is feathering their own nests and using the people, these people who feather their own nests, they pay for the politicians who are going to go in there and then feather the nests even bigger. Because the I know for a fact, well, of the 660 million, 20 million is supposed to be directed toward teacher housing. And they even said 220 million is supposed to be in for affordable housing. I'm just going to call BS on it. Because I already know there's been bond after bond around affordable housing, but I don't see that coming up right here. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing more and more affordable housing. All I see are more high rises that are tilting and falling into the, you know, like that one that's being built and then falling over so that rich people fall on top of more rich people. You know, it's like, good, that should happen. Actually, they should just get out. But the only way this is going to get solved, and this is the thing, the only way this will get solved is by challenging the state, not by strengthening it, not by making capitalists richer through doing it. We cannot work our way out of this problem by making Wall Street wealthier. And that's what the bond market really is.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to read here something. It's bond funding helps rich people avoid paying their fair share of taxes, since interest on municipal bonds is exempt from both state and federal tax. Mm-hmm. And if you look at in 1992, over 35,000 U.S. millionaires supplemented their income with tax-exempt state and local bond checks, averaging over $2,500 per week.
Right.
That's over $130,000 per year tax-free.
Right. And two ways, there's two types of bonds that I saw. One that's paid for like things that don't make money. That goes directly and has to get paid by, will be paid for by homeowners in that region. But the things that make money, that'll be paid for by workers who basically, you get paid a toll, you get paid a parking thing, you get paid a this. So these various way, one way or another, the Wall Street's going to get money from us out of these measures. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to put themselves, and the state puts themselves in a situation where they have more and more debt, so they can't do the things that they say they're trying to do for us, which they're not trying to do for it. But again, it makes it more impossible. So then they have to do things like strip away people's pensions.
Mm-hmm. It's bond funding requires payments totaling about twice the actual cost of whatever improvements are made, and passes cost on future generations.
Yeah.
And because people who buy bonds are almost exclusively the wealthy, as investors are paid back over the 20-30 year life of the bond, wealth is transferred from the middle and low income taxpayers to rich bondholders.
Right. So it's again.
Yeah.
This is have you heard the saying? So we're probably in agreement here. The house always wins. It's a Las Vegas saying.
Don't gamble.
Okay. Yeah. But in Las Vegas, basically. The house always wins basically means that the place is set up so that everyone goes into Vegas thinking, oh, I can make this, I can get rich of this, I can make some money doing this way. Not rich, but, you know, I can come out of there with a winner. And of course, every once in a while somebody does. But Vegas is set up so that every game you play is rigged towards me. And I would say that our election system is this way. And I would say I would include Prop C. I would include Proposition F, that was like sunshining dark money. Mm-hmm. Really, it's the Democratic Party gonna sunshine dark money around when they're like so knee deep in dark money. It's forget it. How am I gonna think I'm gonna vote my way towards exposing the election system through the election system, which is controlled by all these people who basically are there because of money? So I know there's a lie there, and. So that was about Prop F, but Prop A and the Prop A bond, Prop E bond, all that stuff is a fiction and a lie. You know, I guess when I put together our discussion around Prop C, and with all the things, you know, you read one of these books, and it's just they give you one of these books to have you read around voting and stuff like this, and it's for and against, and it's all like, it just makes your eyes bleed. It's boring and it's confusing. I think it's made to be that confusing. This is why there's nothing to vote for. It's like, I'm not for Prop C, I'm not against Prop C, I'm not voting for it because I think all of it's a lie. And I'm not for, I'm against Prop A, but I'm not like, I'm not going to vote on that stuff because you're not going to vote your way out of it. And one of the things they're going to do when people vote see, here's what they get you. When people vote down propositions like this, then they're going to say, well, people don't want that housing. And then they'll give us another reason to take it away. That's why I say the House wins. So if you get Prop A, we're not going to, teachers aren't going to get housing. Poor people aren't going to get housing. I think Prop A and Prop E won, and Prop A is too close to call as far as last I remember. But if they win, poor people aren't going to get housing. Cities will continue to get gentrified. This city is going to continue to get gentrified. But if Prop A and Prop E lost, then the capitalists will use that as an excuse for like, oh, well, they don't give a shit about housing. We're going to club them some even more. So that's why I mean when I say the House always wins, and I don't think there's anything to be won with these elections. That's why I don't vote. And I'm not telling you not to vote. I'm just saying.
I'm telling you to vote.
I know, but you know, I'm not going to do it because I'm obstinate.
You do everything opposite, I've noticed.
Anyway.
I do think that we should get some money, though, and I think that should be done from city revenues, which is a tax on the wealthy. And that's what I would go for, and not a bond, necessarily.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that.
So you understand that there might be a difference in how we could potentially fund these projects.
It still won't. That is not a long-term plan either, just tax the rich. But I agree, let's tax the rich.
You know, because as I was saying in 1992, you know, the wealthy avoided paying federal and state taxes on over $5 billion, which must be made up by the rest of us.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is what when people ask, well, what do you do if we have urgent needs? Well, then that's where city revenues come in, because we have lots of people, especially here in San Francisco. Look around us here. We have Twitter, no? Mm-hmm. And so
Bank of America, Wells Fargo.
Right. So we can raise money.
Silicon Valley.
If the city revenue is being used. That's my response to people who say, well, what do you do when we have projects that need to be funded? Mm-hmm.
And then there's measures that say that you can't do certain taxes. Like, I don't know, they make it very difficult to pass taxes on wealthy. So, I'm for taxing the wealthy, no question about that. But let's not confuse that for a solution, a long-term solution to the issue.
So you do agree with Band-Aid policies?
If it actually hurts the wealthy and it hurts the capitalists in the short term,
well, yeah. Hurting Jewel, you see.
What we're strengthening another side, you know. It doesn't work that way. You know, you could go after somebody and maybe think they're going after Facebook, but if you give them more power to like strengthen their apparatus, we're not winning. Yeah. So, I would say that the one area that, you know, if it's a straight up tax on the rich, but again, our state is going to find a way around that kind of thing. And I would just say there's a very narrow band by which I could see to get me to go and do something at the ballot box. But in general, I don't think there's anything for us there. This year, I don't think there was anything for us there. And in general, I don't think there's anything there other than convincing us that there might be a way of either solving these or mitigating these things through this avenue. And so it keeps people from looking at the real way we're going to solve this problem. Because this problem is much more intractable than people believe. And the problem is intractable because the problem is capitalism. The problem is the profit system. And it ain't going to, you will not be able to challenge the profit system through taxation.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this concludes this episode.
I think it does conclude this episode. It wasn't so bad.
No.
Yeah, so.
Although you agree with me most of the time.
For this episode, yes. Eduardo was right, I was wrong. That's the take-home message. Don't listen to me, listen to him.
I'm kidding. if you have anything to say, please comment below. Let's see what you agree with. You have someone like me that wants these Band-Aid policies,
yes.
Wants to try to have temporary solutions. I don't want state control. I just want to be clear.
And all my alt-right fans are going to troll you. and I'm going
right?
to let them.
They supposedly want less government, right? Well, not just Republicans. Right, then. Check us out on any of our 5 platforms on what?
I just want to say that I think these next 2 episodes are going to be episodes where we're going to do an interview with a very interesting fellow from North Carolina. Will.
We'll see.
I believe our next 2 episodes are going to be that, which is he's a person who's had some experience in the military. He's a radical, and his story, his journey to becoming a radical is very interesting. So.
If something does not come up. Yeah.
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 Anyway, sorry for interrupting.
Check us out on any of our 5 platforms on BitChute, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes Podcast, and YouTube. Subscribe, rate, review, and best of all, share with your family and community, and we'll catch you all next week.
All right, bye-bye.
Ciao. All these bloopers you have on me, Andy, now at the end of every video that really affected some people.
They did?
Last one, yes.
Which one was the last one?
You talked about how I'm not very... I don't praise.
Did somebody see that?
Well, 2 people.
Who saw that?
Cajano.
What did you say?
And another friend, Simon. They think that you're right.
Yeah, that did affect... They should have watched enough of these episodes to know that I'm right all the time. They have to watch the end of these episodes and know that I'm right. They're not paying attention.
Andy.
That's another white privilege, is to be right constantly.
All right.
Speaking of which,
I don't have sugar on me.
No. You're looking good.
All right.